And it's not just the political pundits who are speculating about the PM's future. No, it's politicians too in the wake of the Queensland result. A new poll out today shows a majority of voters as well believe that Tony Abbott will not be leading the government to the next election. The Fairfax Ipsos poll puts Federal Labor 12 points ahead of the coalition two-party preferred. The Prime Minister's own approval rating sinking below 30%. And the government's most senior Queenslander is Deputy Prime Minister Warren Truss. And he spoke earlier with political editor Alison Carabine.
Warren Truss, thanks for joining Breakfast.
Good morning.
Minister, Queensland Labor has staged the biggest turnaround in Australian political history. How did it go so bad so quickly for the LNP in your home state?
Well, it certainly demonstrates the enormous volatility of the voters. Queensland has been a state which has traditionally had very long-term governments. And so this is certainly a message that everyone needs to listen to and to heed. Labor ran a campaign in Queensland very similar to the style that they ran in Victoria. Just on a single issue, in Victoria it was a road, in Queensland asset leasing, and essentially they sought to run a negative referendum campaign rather than announce any substantial policy statements at any time during the election. And that's a similar strategy that was used in Victoria, and frankly I think Bill Shorten's adopting a similar strategy federally. No policy, no announcements, just against everything.
And Bill Shorten, if he is adopting the same strategy, he could be successful because it has worked in Queensland and Victoria. The Prime Minister concedes that there are lessons for the federal coalition. Isn't the biggest lesson voters don't like politicians who break election promises and who burn off that bond of trust that is needed between government and the electorate?
Well, I think there are lessons for all governments everywhere about this election result. Firstly, no one, no matter how big their majority, can ever be confident that that will be repeated at the next election, that there is always a need to perform and to satisfy the people. Indeed, there is a potential for greater swings when there are a large majority because people think they can protest without actually changing the government. So yes, there are very clear messages that we need to learn at the federal level, but certainly governments right around the nation need to be aware that there's been a bit of a shift in the way in which people approach the political process and the way in which they want to use their vote in the future. And I think that that has implications for our democracy, but it certainly is something that the political parties need to adjust to and learn from.
And the Prime Minister says he's learning a lesson from Queensland. He's promising to be more consultative and collegiate. But isn't that too little, too late, considering people seem to have stopped listening and seem to have made up their minds already about the government and the Prime Minister?
Well, governments have to earn respect and they have to do it over a long period of time. And I'm sure that ultimately in this election in Queensland, there was an enormous swing. All the polls say this, an enormous swing over the last two or three days. So people ultimately make their judgment as they're about to vote. So we've got to work very hard over the next year and a half to make sure that we've earned the respect of the people, that we do consult in an effective way. Let's also remember that the Queensland policy of leasing assets wasn't something that was made up on the spot. That went on for many, many months. So there was formally a very open, a very extensive consultation plan about this key policy that went on for many, many months. But in the end, I think probably because of the weight of advertising and particularly run from the trade union movement, it became the core issue, and ultimately the Queenslanders participated on voting day in a referendum on whether they wanted the assets recycled, and they said, no, we don't want to do that. I suspect they still want the roads and the schools, but a way to fund them will now be a challenge for the new government.
And what about the challenge for the federal government? Isn't there a danger that we could see the federal government become quite timid when it comes to economic reform, whether it's asset sales, tax reform, workplace relations? Won't you be pulling your head in from here on in?
Well, we do have a very ambitious agenda, but what is clear is that it's got to be implemented at a pace that the public will accept. There are tough decisions that have to be made, and so we have to look at the ways in which we can practically fund the sort of things that the public want. So it's important to deal with these key issues that are going to affect the future of our country so that we can deliver to future generations a lifestyle at least as good as our own, but we have to do it in a way in which the public are willing to accept the change and move with it. And I think that we do need to concentrate on the things that we can achieve so we can make improvements. That will help build a level of trust in the community so that as governments move on, as we move through this term and hopefully into another term, we are able to achieve a broader agenda with the support of the community.
But talking about another term, today's Ipsos poll in the Fairfax Press puts Labor ahead 56%, 44% two-party preferred. Galaxy had similar numbers on the weekend. That would put 40 coalition seats in danger at the next election, 40 seats. Coalition backbenchers are openly talking about the government being another one-termer. Have they got good cause to be worried?
Well, certainly the government needs to work hard in the second half of this term to win back the support of the public. It's not uncommon mid-term for governments to dip in the polls.
This is a big dip.
There's been bigger dips in the past that governments have recovered from. Now, I'm not discounting the significance of our need to be a good government and a government that delivers in a way in which the people of Australia can build a respect. But so, yes, the task ahead is a big one, but I believe we've got the team that's capable of delivering it.
And the right leader leading that team, considering how dire the party position is, why is Tony Abbott, whose personal approval rating has fallen below 30%, why is he still the best person to lead the government?
Well, he's an able man. He's got a vision for our country. He's got a determination. He's got a willingness to look constructively at issues. I think he's provided quality leadership to the team. Yes, we all need to do better. We need to do better as a team.
But at least one backbencher, Ian McDonald, he's calling for a mature and careful consideration of a whole range of issues, including the leadership. Do you think Tony Abbott would ever consider resigning for the good of the party, stepping down, not being pushed? Pressure does appear to be building from the backbench for that particular outcome.
Well, I think a key part of the beginning of the end for the Labor Party was when they started chopping around for new leaders and then swapped back to where they were. That demonstrated that the Labor Party was indeed lost. I don't believe that can be said of this government. It does have a clear policy agenda, and we need to get behind the leadership that we have to make it to ensure that it's delivered.
Warren Truss, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Deputy Prime Minister, Nationals leader Warren Truss, speaking there with political editor Alison Carabine. It's 7 minutes away from 8 o'clock on RN Breakfast.